So one way to hide the pain of inflation is to pretend, you know, that it doesn't exist, that you're not actually feeling it. You don't even actually know it's around you because it doesn't exist. One way to pretend it doesn't exist is to feed you highly processed fake food like breakfast cereal. Of course, sure, meat prices are up 50%, but hey, the World Economic Forum doesn't want you to eat meat anyway. Eat highly processed fake cheap food with 100 ingredients, you know, seed oils, all sorts of sugars, and you're fine. You'll be fine. The strategy has worked for decades, actually. Most people don't know that breakfast cereal, of course, is one of the worst things you can put in your body, one of the worst things a person can eat. The reason that they don't know this is because you're not meant to know this. The reason most people don't know that this is terrible for you is because the propaganda really works.
Well, I know this because I follow Eddie Abu. He's a bodybuilder on Instagram, and he goes... This I suggest to everybody. He goes around the grocery store and picks up boxes of things, and he's like, "This is not effing food. Yeah. Don't eat this. It's not food." And like, it's awesome.
That's funny.
It entertains me a lot. So,
but most people don't know it, and it's because the lobbyists and the elites don't want you to know it, and so they don't have. They're, you know, you're fighting up against these guys on Instagram who are telling you the truth about this. But anyway, it's all part of a plan to keep you uneducated about this. Cereal, of course, sits at the top of the food pyramid for a reason, or at the bottom of the food pyramid, I should say. Food pyramid designed to keep you unhealthy with processed food. The food pyramid, of course, it turns out, actually was created in Sweden during the height of inflation in this country in the early 1970s, and then adopted a few years later in the United States. As researcher Brandon Smith points out in a great new piece called Cereal for the Peasants, How the Elites Use Skimpflation to Control Our Eating Habits, he's talked about, you know, the food pyramid is really a stroke of genius. It really is. The Swedish government built a mechanism where they could hide inflation so you don't feel the pain of it behind propaganda. Meat is too expensive. Well, here's our food pyramid. You don't need to eat meat anyway. See, look at the main part of your food pyramid. You want to eat pastas, grains. You know, we want to avoid eating meat. Instead, replace it with cereals and pastas and carbs.
That's so frustrating.
Then the government,
when you think about it that way.
I know, exactly. And then the government provides lucrative subsidies, of course, to the cereal market, right? All of those cereal, like, can you put that back up on there, Philip, and just people could stare at this and just gawk at this? Because think about that, right? All of the subsidies we think about in our society sit at the bottom, right? To all of the grains, all of the fake foods, all of the processing, that's where we get the government subsidies. So Sweden at the time billed these foods, of course, as cheap and nutritious. That's how they did it. They did this through propaganda. Of course, only one part was true. Yeah, they're cheap, but they're massively spiking your insulin. It could be a reason we have type 2 diabetes, explosion, and obesity epidemic. So in the 1970s, we saw the explosion of the processed food market. The giant grocery stores emerged, the decline of that butcher shop that you would walk to separately from your dairy and separately from your cheese shop. All of them separate, right? So now all in one big box grocery store. Not coincidentally, this was the decade, of course, when American food was driven right into the toilet in the 1970s. Inflation too hot, don't worry. We can fill your belly on low-cost pasta and cereals. Wash it down with a Dr. Pepper. Sure, you'll get fat and you'll go into a diabetic coma, but that's okay because the food pyramid tells us it's okay. Before lobbyists from the big processed food companies got their hands on America, the American family, of course, put meat, dairy at the center of their diets in the American household. Here's home grocery shopping in the 1950s. What do you notice from this video?
While Julia's out doing the shopping, there are five big neighborhood markets within a couple of blocks of our house, and Julia spreads her shopping around, going where the prices are lowest and the quality best. With 6 mouths to feed, food is a big item in our budget, and we have to make sure we get the most for our money. Every Saturday morning, Julia buys stuff for the entire week, so she takes her time and sees that everything she gets is fresh and good. The vegetables and fruit she buys from one store, her meat from another. We're all big meat eaters in our family, even little Jackie. That means she has to make sure there's plenty to go around.
So do you notice sirloin steak, meats, eggs, dairy, and I'm really picking the meat as the centerpiece of our diet. Last year, Kellogg's the cereal maker behind such quality products as Corn Flakes, Rice Krispies, and Eggos, lobbied Congress as they do every year. Millions they spend on lobbying Congress. They spent millions lobbying Congress, and they target certain bills that are before Congress, and they assign their names to these bills that they're lobbying on behalf of. They did about 8 of them last year, but here was one that stood out to me that they lobbied on behalf of. This is the Healthy Future Students and Earth Pilot Program, H.R. 4108. For instance, this bill that Kellogg lobbied for, cited the Healthy Future Students Act, is a bill that would provide 100% plant-based processed food for our kids in school. Yeah, all that plant-based processed cereals, processed grains, right in Kellogg's wheelhouse, of course. No meat, of course.
There is a lot of data that plant-based milks are awful for children. I can bring that for you another time.
Yeah, they're really awful.
I mean, not just the plant-based foods, which are usually a conglomeration of hundreds of ingredients and right, highly, highly processed. But the milks especially are really terrible for children.
So it's surprising you bring that up, because the bill, this bill that I just brought up, was first introduced back in 2021. They've been pushing this. Kellogg's has been pushing this bill for years. But speaking of like the milks and stuff, notice who else is on this lobbying
list. Oatly, yeah.
Oatly also throwing their money behind lobbying on behalf of this bill as well.
That stuff is caca.
Yeah.
I tried that in my coffee and blech.
Anyway, it wasn't enough, of course, though, that Kellogg's ruined breakfast and took eggs and meat off the breakfast table and lobbied on behalf of cornflakes and advertising. You know, once the lobbying arms opened up in 1953 on a Supreme Court decision, of course, then it was all, you know, all hell broke loose in the United States. But of course, it transformed the American breakfast. Convenience, right? Have your cornflakes first thing in the morning instead of meat and eggs and live a healthy life. No, now you're going to have this highly processed corn? Really? Okay, that's what you're going to eat for breakfast? So Kellogg's ruined breakfast. Now, thanks to inflation, Kellogg's is now trying to get you to eat cereal for dinner as well. Here's the CEO of Kellogg's.
The cereal category has always been quite affordable, and it tends to be a great destination when consumers are under pressure. So some of the things that we're doing is, first, messaging. We got to reach the consumer where they are. So we're advertising about cereal for dinner. If you think about the cost of cereal for a family versus what they might otherwise do, that's going to be much more affordable. So those are some of the things that we're doing. But in general, the cereal category is a place that a lot of folks might come to, because the price of a bowl of cereal with milk and with fruit is less than a dollar. So you can imagine why a consumer under pressure might find that to be a good place to go.
Right.
So that's a whole category, a consumer under pressure.
And who wants to eat cereal for dinner?
Well, yeah.
My daughter doesn't eat cereal like for breakfast, but if I were to put cereal out for dinner, she would flat out murder me. That would be it. Like, would be the end of me.
Like, what the hell has happened?
Okay, I want to tell you a funny story. Is my friends and I, this was in the early 2000s, we shared this email of like things we want in a boyfriend to get married when we were single. And one of the things that I put on the list is, I don't like when people put like full boxes of things in the refrigerator. Like if you have a 6-pack of beer or something, like take the bottles out and put them in the refrigerator, that kind of thing. But one of my top line items was, must not think cereal is an acceptable dinner. So I think that shows that person has not grown up.
Yeah.
I used to eat cereal dinner.
Did too in the 90s, but because always hungry, because it spikes your insulin and you're hungry again later. But I'm a grown up.
When I was in college, I had no money and this is the perfect, like, you have no money food, and it makes you more hungry. So you eat more of it, and it's actually debilitating your body at the same time. So look, we've all been there, but I love that is literally a consumer category for Kellogg's, like the consumer under pressure.
Like,
he brings it up multiple times.
We're trying to get people to think of cereal for dinner.
Oh yeah, and they are. And they're rolling out a full advertising campaign to get you as a consumer under pressure. Again, hiding inflation, because now inflation's not bothering you at all. Don't worry about it. You've got cereal. Here's Kellogg's new advertising campaign.
When I say cereal, you say dinner. Cereal.
Dinner!
Cereal.
Dinner! Chicken!
You can have the night off, chicken.
Oh, okay, I'll go marinate.
Cereal!
Dinner!
Cereal!
Dinner!
Wait, no, that's not
real. Wait, that chicken wanted to be cooked? You would think that'd be like...
I know.
I'm glad you guys are having cereal. Eat all the cereal you want. I'm going to go.
It's not a joke. That's a real Kellogg's commercial.
They really think that a family should be eating cereal for dinner?
Yeah. And by the way, just to say something.
And are not embarrassed to say that?
Well, I'm embarrassed for the actors. Like that mom, that woman in that ad, and like the husband and the kids that they got. Like who, just to make some money.
Right.
Right, just to make some money. You know, and then they...
Here you go, kids. I hate you.
You're right. So these are the same people that pushed a plant-based diet because inflation is here and it's affecting poor and middle-class people more than anything else right now. Rich people aren't eating bugs. They're eating steak. They're eating real food. Inflation is only getting hotter. And just as like we talked about with the CEO of Lear Capital a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt, that's why we're seeing a huge spike in people running to gold and silver prices because the value of the US dollar keeps getting worse and worse and they're trying to hide it from you. They're trying to insulate you from even paying attention to it. So have cereal for dinner. That's why when President Biden promotes eating chips during the Super Bowl and junk food, there's a reason behind it. I was fascinated by this ad so much. Like I've had this saved in a folder and I've been working on this story for a while because something really bothered me about it, stood out to me that your role at the White House is pushing this narrative about there's fewer chips in a bag. We should be having more chips in a bag, not talking about the fact that meat prices are up 50%. There's no mention of meat, but your favorite snacks, your favorite processed food, we're going to do a White House commercial for it. Watch.
It's Super Bowl Sunday. If you're anything like me, you like to be surrounded by a snack or two while watching the big game. You know, when buying snacks for the game, you might have noticed one thing. Sports drinks bottles are smaller. A bag of chips has fewer chips, but they're still charging it just as much. And as an ice cream lover, what makes me the most angry is that ice cream cartons have actually shrunk in size, but not in price. I've had enough of what they call shrinkflation. It's a ripoff. Some companies are trying to pull a fast one by shrinking the products little by little and hoping you won't notice. Give me a break. The American public is tired of being played for suckers. I'm calling on companies to put a stop to this. Let's make sure businesses do the right thing now.
Thanks for sticking up for America and our pain of the processed foods. Let us know your thoughts on this in the comments below.
Did you see the trailer for the new Jerry Seinfeld directed Kellogg's versus Post movie that's coming out?
No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's about cereal.
Well, because he was obsessed with cereal. He still is, I guess, obsessed with cereal. I mean, he always eat it on his show, and he was always eating it first. You know.
Yes, but that character also had Peter Pan syndrome, refused to grow up. And I don't want to begrudge anybody who can't afford to eat anything else, but we should be aspiring to eat better than that. It's like this is not for grown-ups. These are not for serious people.
Right. And it's sad because this is the economy right now. And so here's a way to use the food pyramid as a piece of propaganda in order to mask the effects of these rising costs of our food supply. I mean, it's really, really terrible. Someone in the comments just a moment ago said, I bake my own bread. Yeah, I do too. I've learned how to do it. And it's freaking easy, actually. There's only four ingredients in real bread. Mm-hmm. Right? Water, flour, salt, and a leavening agent. That's it. Then you can do other things to it. But then why is bread at the store?
High fructose corn syrup.
Right.
You need high fructose corn syrup in your bread.
Yeah, you need high.
Forget that.
No, so eggs. When you, it's amazing to me. Try to go and find bread at the store that doesn't have 100 ingredients in it. It's insane.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't know. So this really bothers me. Let me know your thoughts on this in the comments below.
You know, I ate a lot of cereal in high school just because we loved it in the 90s. We were told to eat high carb diets and low fat. And so that fit the bill.
That's my whole point of that segment is that that's the food pyramid. We are being told
but
that
I
you
felt,
shouldn't.
I felt hungry all the time. And I think about like me as a growing teenager eating all that stuff. If
I think
just,
about,
you know,
well, yeah. And,
had
this
real
does that
food.
Make sense? Because I would get home from school. My mom used to get pissed because I would sit down and eat a whole box of Fruity Pebbles in one sitting when I got home from as a senior.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, you know, junior high school, high school, that was the first thing I would do. I'd eat Rice Krispies. I'd have Cheerios. I'd put sugar on it too. And I couldn't wait to get to the bottom of the milk to get that little scoop of sugar.
Yeah.
And then like I'd get to school and 10 minutes later, I'd be starving. Right. Yeah. I mean, or I'd have a Pop-Tart. And this is the 1980s, right? Growing up in the 1980s, right? You'd have a but our parents were, of course, up against this propaganda. They had three television stations of news broadcast, you know, and they were being, you know, given this information about.
Yeah.
You know, they were being told this is the food pyramid. This is approved by the USDA, right? This is the food pyramid.
Or I would eat just white rice. That kind of, like, I shudder at the way that I followed that back in the 90s. Today we had some leftover Indian food from the weekend, and Clayton, I said, oh, eat this for lunch, honey. And then I spilled half of the rice on the floor. And I was like, I was worried about your glycemic index.
Right.
So that's why I spilled the rice.
So I ate it off the floor.
So, he didn't. So he halved the rice.
Yeah.
Well, it's amazing if you go back through like the actual history of all of this, like a kind of a deeper dive, if anybody's interested, it's fascinating. Because like since about the 1920s, the nutritional recommendations from the U.S. government has been coming from lobbyists,
yes.
Not doctors, not mm-hmm. scientists, lobbyists. And that's always like, so everything they're telling you should be eating is coming from lobbyists, from the meat industry, egg industry, and like those industries fight each other over their position on the food pyramid, and they have been since the Depression.
Right, and a lot of it comes from Kellogg's, which has roots in, I think, a Seventh-day Adventist or one Christian fundamentalist church where the woman had a vision that we should only eat seeds and fruits like in the Garden of Eden. And the person who helped her publicize her book was one of the Kelloggs. And so the church is deeply ingrained, even still, in the lobbyists who then promote this plant-based, high-carb, high-processed food eating. We're going to have author of the book, The Great Plant-Based Con, on the show later in June, actually. She's agreed to come on the show. Her name is Jane Buxton. If you want to read up in advance, you have a month. The book is called The Great Plant-Based Con. Fantastic book about how much business and lobbying there is to lie to you about what you should be eating. So read that.
I really hope you enjoyed watching this video. You know, YouTube thinks that you'll actually like this next video right here. It's personalized based on your own viewing habits. So if you watch the video, please leave a comment. Let us know what you think about it. And we will see you next time, everyone.